While everyone's obsessing about the Christmas season, you've got a different season on your mind. One where red noses come from shouting your support in the crisp, cold, pitchside air. Where the roaring fire is in your belly, not your sitting room. And the perfect gift is an unexpected win. Don't miss a moment with a GAA season ticket. A gift for yourself or the fan in your life. Available at gaa.ie/season ticket. Are you in? The GAA, where we all belong.
Off the ball, rugby.
He's a very good player, and on his day, he's a massive threat on the wing. So that is a bit of competition that we need at the left wing, with James Lowe not firing as good as he has in the recent past.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Good evening. This is Thursday's Off the Ball. You're welcome along to day five of talking about Troy Parrott's hat-trick in Budapest. Today, we have started to get a little nervous because we have a fixture. March is becoming all the more real at this point. It is an away date with Czechia on March the 26th, and then hopefully Denmark the following week in Dublin. So if we manage to get through the nerve-shattering experience that Prague is going to be, then we'll have to go through the PTSD of 2017 and getting hammered by Denmark at home before even facing them. So thankfully it's only 4 months away. We can not worry about how we're going to feel, but that's what it is going to have to be if Ireland are going to qualify for our first World Cup since 2002 in men's football. Our number is 0879 180 180 if you want to get in touch. Brian Kerr will be with us from 7:30 to discuss, and Dion Fanning will be with us in the football show after 9 o'clock, who's also here for the news round. Evening, Dion.
Hi, Owen. How are you?
Very well. Cameron Hill is also in studio. How are you, Cameron?
I'm not too bad, Owen. How are you?
Very well. You've been doing some research on Prague and the historical tendencies of the city folk.
Yeah, one of my favourite words in the English language comes from, I think its first use was used in Prague to describe the defenestration of Prague, which for in lay terms means to be thrown out a window. So there's been multiple defenestrations in history, but the most famous one was in 1618 when two royal governors and a secretary were thrown out by Protestant protesters, I suppose is what you'd call them, which led to the 30 Years' War, which is estimated to have killed about 4.5 million to 8 million people. So they take their windows and being ejected out of said windows very seriously in Prague. Just some travel advice for Irish fans going over: get a hotel with no windows.
Wow. And if they had been done away with in less egregious terms and not thrown out a window, it wouldn't have sparked a war?
I don't know, because they survived. So apparently the story goes that they fall out the window and end up in dung.
Right.
So, but it was such a slight to have been thrown out of the window in such an irreverent and dangerous manner that it sparks off the 30 Years' War. It's Hradčany Castle in the middle of Prague. I think you can see, everyone goes and points out the window when you're on the tour of where these guys were thrown out, but it's a fair old drop. I think it's like the third story
up. That is the highbrow experience for anybody who's booked their flights, their highly inflated priced flights to Prague this afternoon. The lowbrow version of Prague is that 10-story nightclub or whatever it is, Karlovy Lázně,
yes,
which conveniently has an ice bar in the basement. A very, very enjoyable place.
Defenestration of ties.
It is true. Initial instinct when it's drawn out today, it's a pretty good outcome, no?
Oh, it's a great outcome. And I think, as you said there, you know, it's so long till March that we might as well just be as positive as we can be this week. And nobody wants to take away or take the glow off the week Irish football has had. So, you know, a good draw on the back of everything else just, you know, keeps it going.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that you don't want to think about. You don't want to think about the prospect of not going to the World Cup. I'm trying to picture the worst way of going out of this thing, though. Would it be to lose the first game or the second game? And I've come to the conclusion that losing the first game would certainly be worse, because you'll have to play a second game anyway, which I hadn't realised until today. There will be a fixture against most likely North Macedonia that you'll have to fulfil anyway, even if you lose the first game. So the grimness of that experience, which will take place in Dublin, if they were to be going nowhere near a World Cup, would just be awful.
Yeah, the World Cup playoff bronze final.
Yes.
That's how that would be branded. I'm sure that, like, there's a peace award now. The FIFA have a peace award. So we can get on to Johnny and see if we can get some sort of gong attributed to that.
Have we allowed ourselves to jump forward to Denmark at all? I know you're cautious about entertaining the idea of that fixture.
I am. Well, I am, because I think we do better when we, maybe it has no bearing whatsoever because the team might not pay any attention to this. But I think as a people, we're better fearing the worst. even just in the, in, you know, the course of this campaign, we've seen what happened when we got overconfident and felt that World Cup qualification was not quite an inevitability, but this was the team to do it, versus how we felt going into the Portugal game and going into even the Hungary game after the Portugal game. I don't think there was a huge amount of belief that it would happen again. So maybe we just need, but as I say, I don't think this is the week to start being realistic. I think this is the week to kind of just let's go with it. We've got a good draw. I wouldn't be worried about Denmark if Ireland got through. Having watched the Scotland game, I think we could be, there's nothing to worry about, but let's enjoy that. Let's enjoy all those prospects now. Let's act like, let's behave like the way the English media would behave now and then be more fearful.
No.
Because, you know, they're always wargaming situations, forgetting about all their past scars. We can do that for now, but I think come March or come a bit of bad injury news, we might suddenly begin to feel a little different.
No, no, we have to be the horrible hangover cure straight away here.
Really?
Yeah, like I was doing bits of reading up on Czechia / the Czech Republic and whether Ireland have faced them. Apparently we lost 1-0 in Prague, and that was basically the game that got Steve Staunton the sack, because it meant that we couldn't qualify for Euro 2008. That was over. So I think we had something like an astronomical goal difference, which statistically ruled us out of qualifying for that tournament. Now, the 5-2 loss to Cyprus might have done some damage there. Yeah. But, you know, crucial games against...
Yeah, but it was over then. I don't think that was... I was at that game. I don't think anyone really thought there was anything. There was no real coming back from that, from the Cyprus game.
So we can't take a revenge kind of angle to this. No. I love the Springboks.
No. No, like you could try. You could float it with the players. Like, what age was Troy Parrott in 2007?
Yeah. 3 or 4. It's, yeah. Incredible. Like, the Czech Republic actually topped that group. There was Czech Republic and Germany, obviously, in that group. Like, I'm not sure about you, but for me, that Czech Republic era, now called Czechia, obviously, is just peak football nostalgia. It screams Euro 2004. I know that was a qualifier for Euro 2008, but in one of those fixtures, you have Jan Koller scoring a goal. Obviously, he's playing up front with Milan Baroš, the likes of Plaschil and Tomáš Rosický. You could not give me a collection of more perfectly nostalgic footballers if you tried. So I have like a real affinity for that Netherlands team, the Czech Republic team, and then the Netherlands team of 04 as well. Those two are the two squads that really just strike at the heartstrings. But this team is nowhere near that level. They certainly wouldn't be topping a group with Germany in it at this point. And sure, there are a couple of players that we're very familiar with. Certainly the one former West Ham, one current West Ham, the Socek and Sofal, and then Patrick Schick. They're the three people that a lot of people are going to be speaking about in the build-up to this game. But as you say, a long, long way to go before we start previewing that. It is your number one story today, Cameron, as people will imagine you're kicking things off with Heimir Hallgrímsson's response to that draw.
Yeah, we're going to hear from manager Heimir Hallgrímsson reacting to the draw earlier today. So just to recap, the Republic of Ireland drawn to face Czechia in Prague in that World Cup playoff semi-final on the 26th of March. If they progress, Ireland will play either Denmark or North Macedonia in that final, which would take place in Dublin as a result. Now, Hallgrímsson admits there's been a change in the mood music around the team over the last week.
It is positivity and optimism at the moment, even with us missing a lot of, let's say, key players from the squad now. So hopefully with some players coming back, we even have a stronger squad going there. So yeah, it's optimism from the recent games. So whether that will be still in their heads in March, we just don't know. But that's why it's important just to look back and not only celebrate the wins, but why it happened and remember why it happened, and keep on working and improving this squad, because we need to improve when the games become bigger. We need to improve ourselves.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast tennis ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Warm season's greetings to you all from Menards. Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Yeah, like the idea of players, you know, playing their way into form or maybe those who are going to get injured or whatever over the next couple of months is worth considering, because there's only so much momentum you can take after a 4-month gap between games. But if you're Hamer Halgrimsson, you're probably going to look at the teams that you fired out against Portugal and Hungary and not want to make too many changes, even if a young Evan Ferguson is tearing up trees in Serie A.
Yeah, I think that's the only player you would start thinking about, if you know, how do you get him into the team and what ways could you get him into the team, and again, without, you know, war gaming it too much, maybe that's something you'd start thinking about for the second leg or for the final if everyone was fit. It's about a home game, you might think, right, can we get Evan Ferguson and Troy Parrott into the same team? But I do think, oh, we're getting, you know, really getting carried away. Like, there is such a long way to go to be actually looking. I think that team, like, he picked that team, and he, you know, he made so few changes between Thursday and Sunday, and I think that's the way he would want to do it if he could again.
You have one other line on the draw, Cameron.
Yeah, elsewhere, Path A sees Northern Ireland taking on Italy in their semi-final, with the winners facing either Wales or Bosnia-Herzegovina. So we probably dodged a bullet in that one. Would have been very Six Nations if we'd managed to get there instead of Bosnia.
Yeah, Italy getting the North if they, or it's in their semi-final, so having to go to Italy for them is a tough task. I think we were maybe had got carried away to the point during this week that we were kind of writing Italy as no great shakes because we were kind of bracing ourselves for it. But now that it's actually come out, we can say, you know, the Northern Ireland have got a very, very tough tough draw there. On to the rugby then, Cameron, you've got team news.
Sam Prendergast named at out half for Ireland's massive November test against South Africa on Saturday. The Leinster playmaker retains a spot on the starting team from last weekend's big 46-19 win over Australia. Head coach Andy Farrell was speaking at the team announcement this afternoon, Owen, and it's fair to say he wasn't overly happy with the level of questioning around Prendergast's defensive abilities.
I understand your question again, but the loaded questions, like, you know what I mean? Because then it's obvious that we have to talk about that. Like, but your question could be asked about any single player throughout. Of course, we constantly talk to individuals about all aspects of the play. So to think that we're just focusing on one aspect of one player is not right. Like, you know, because for example, I spoke to our two leaders yesterday about certain aspects of their game. I'm talking about Kieran and Dan Sheehan now, world-class players. And they agree with the work-ons, you know what I mean? So it is constant throughout for every single member of every single squad in world rugby.
That's quite interesting, the fact that he's come to Prendergast's defence in such exercised fashion. Like, it has been a pretty obvious flaw in his game, and I don't think anybody out there is saying that he's not going to get there with regards to his game. It's a process that's going to happen for him over the next couple of years, hopefully. I guess a lot of people have been having the conversation in the context of selection this week. Who is the best defensive option to play the Springboks, a very strong Springboks team? Do you want the slightly older, slightly stronger in the tackle player, or do you want the more gifted attacking option in Sam Prendergast? I think it's been an absolutely fair conversation. I wasn't there for the whole press conference. Maybe there was a bit of repetition about the questions earlier. But certainly, maybe that kind of smacks of somebody who's saying that everybody in the press room needs to be very supportive of this guy as opposed to critical of this guy, which isn't the role of the media.
No, it's not. But I guess, you know, his selection does show you that he's thinking whatever, you know, he needs to learn about that aspect of his game, he's prepared to see him learn it in a game like this against South Africa, rather than say, well, you know, clearly he's the preferred option. So you have to try and evolve that game rather than being cautious and saying, let's get a more defensive option and get that result and get more likely to get a result now. But actually, what do you lose over a longer period of time if you don't make those decisions? Now, you know, now you may also think that Prendergast brings more in the here and now too. So there's that element too. I wonder, is there a bigger culture war at the moment between people who say that, you know, there's nothing as good as Ireland, you know, no other sport can compete with Ireland's, you know, football victories, and then, you know, the Prendergast versus Crowley, which is the bigger culture war in Irish sport at the moment.
And I think that's probably the part that we're trying to untangle, is how much of the criticism of Sam Prendergast's defensive capabilities are coming from a parochial, maybe Munster slash everywhere else that isn't Leinster point of view. Like, you know, we were joking in the office earlier, wondering if Prendergast selection means that there'll be a load of Munster fans descending on the Aviva in Springboks jerseys this weekend as a result. But there's so much question around it. And I think it must get very, very tiring when one aspect of a player who's a playmaker and clearly has serious skill from an attacking point of view. And earlier in that press conference, Andy Farrell actually makes reference to that, and how that basically outweighs any other maybe negative aspects of his game. Is just so how he offers so much in attack from an Ireland perspective. But focusing in on this little piece, I mean, everyone's made the point now. Ronan O'Gara wasn't, like, it wasn't the strength in his game, his defence. There are other players who offer a hell of a lot, like Mac Hansen, like Louis Bielbarre, whose defence mightn't be quite up to scratch either. So it does, I can understand why people might feel it's a little bit unfair to target Prendergast over everyone else.
Okay, so you can understand Farrell's ire in that clip.
I think so. I think so. I think if it's always being questioned and it's the one thing that anyone's talking about, and there might be underlying reasons aside from maybe he's, you know, skill-wise, there might be other reasons as well why Prendergast mightn't be great in the tackle technique, because I think Brian O'Driscoll was on this week and said that, like, his hit on James O'Connor was a perfectly good hit. There's times where maybe he needs a little bit more power in his tackling and have a little bit more of a stronger approach. But like, you see, you can contrast that with how Gary Ringrose sometimes goes into tackles. And when you're trying to make a dominant tackle, particularly in the backfield, there's a loss of control with that. Like, you are throwing yourself into it. That's the point of those dominant hits, is that you really do not control your momentum in that situation.
I think there, as well, there's a potentially, I'm just guessing here, potentially something at play here where it's become spoken about so much that it's going to be an obvious target for South Africa on Saturday, is run down the 10 channel, test this guy out early, and maybe he's quite annoyed at the fact that, you know, the South Africa are almost getting a little bit of a tactical advantage, given this has become such a noisy thing now. I know, listen, they have some of the best analysts in the world. They would have figured this out themselves. It doesn't need online discourse for to highlight that.
It strikes me as well that what Farrell's saying there is very like how Jurgen Klopp viewed management and viewed player selection. Because if you remember that Ian Graham, the analyst who worked at Liverpool, who wrote a book about winning the Premier League with Liverpool, and he talked about how Klopp always looked in recruitment, he always looked for like the strengths and like the key strengths in a player. And if he saw like really strong ability in a certain area, that was far more important to him than an all-round average in a player. Like, that was what he wanted. And like Trent Alexander-Arnold, he wasn't somebody they signed, but Trent Alexander-Arnold being a key example of that.
Yeah.
And how Klopp always emphasised like all the things he could do with the ball and stressed that and got the best out of him to do that to the benefit of Liverpool, and didn't care about the stuff that people were bringing up in press conferences and bringing up, you know, he defensively, whatever weaknesses he had. And, you know, listening to Farrell, I think, and ultimately, I think that's how you actually bring a team to a different level. Like, you can be cautious, you can be Gareth Southgate, you can do those things, you can look at a team that way, or else you can do what Farrell's doing or what Klopp did, and actually that way you get the team to a higher level, I think.
Sam Prendergast, the Trent of the current Ireland team. Cameron, what's next?
Well, on the Springboks front, winger Kirtley Aronsa has been ruled out of this weekend's game through concussion, so he's been replaced by Cannon Moody. There's also a 6-2 split on the bench this weekend. Andre Esterhazen covering flanker and centre for the Springboks. Now, head coach Razzie Erasmus was also up before media today. He feels that Northern Hemisphere sides are too quick to criticise the South African style of play.
The only thing that sometimes gets to me is it's not, we don't want people from the outside world to start supporting us and say, oh, well done, we do, you know. Definitely not. And we don't care if people don't rate us in the way we, but when people start questioning how we play the game, the spirit of the game, why we do things, you know, we don't analyze England and Ireland and comment on how they pick their teams and how their structures are and why their structures are like that and are they kicking too much. You know, you won't hear our commentators even talking about that. They don't delve into the opposition, and our South African mindset is just like that. Listen, man, let us do our thing. And you don't have to respect what we're doing, but look at the scoreboard and you can decide if you like us or not. But, I guess, we don't feel disrespected by anybody, and I feel that there's a good, healthy, competition between us and the Irish especially. But, you know, don't always overanalyze what we do in our camp. We're sort of our team, and if we get it wrong, you beat us in a day. Amen.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Give us a shot, we understand it.
That's so weird. I just find that so weird. Like, yeah. So he's saying that there's no pundits in South Africa who analyse other people's teams. Like, clearly he is not happy with analysis of his team. That's probably come from Matt Williams, who has voiced a very honest opinion on why he thought the 6-2 split was bad for rugby. A completely honestly held belief in terms of how one of his friends had got a very, very bad injury in a scrum, and he felt that the overpowering of the game of rugby is bad for the future of the game. That's his opinion. And to say that, you know, to take some sort of moral high ground where your country and your country's pundits as a collective should not be, engaging in the business of another country, again, just kind of feels a weird misunderstanding of what the role of the media is or what the role of a pundit is. I just find that very strange comment, but maybe that's the way rugby needs to be, is that you kind of worry about your own and don't look over the fence.
There's a popular kind of theory in US politics that anytime a US president declares war on a proper noun, it's never good news. So, for instance, Bush's war on terror, or Ronald Reagan's war on drugs, or war on poverty by the Clintons, and war on punditry seems to be the Razzie Erasmus tack right now. I don't understand this, to be honest.
We will have more on this with Fiona Hayes between 8 and 9 p.m. this evening. You're moving on to something else next. I think it's on to some other football stories that don't relate to the Republic of Ireland right now. Apparently there's a few.
I mean, slightly. Shamrock Rovers midfielder Danny Mandroy says he's gutted after undergoing surgery for an ACL injury. He was taken off during the Hoops' FAI Cup final win over Cork City earlier this month. And Mandroy told his followers on social media that the surgery went very well and that he will do everything possible to get back to full fitness. We have some Women's Champions League action this evening as well. Owen, Barcelona putting their unbeaten record in this season's competition on the line tonight. They've travelled to London for a meeting with Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, which kicks off at 8 o'clock.
The Ireland cricketers have been in action.
Yeah, and play is finished for the day on day two of the Irish cricketers' test meeting with Bangladesh in Dhaka. After 38 overs of their first innings, Ireland are 98 for the loss of 5 wickets, while Bangladesh posted a first innings total of 476 runs.
Never mind the Republic of Ireland national football team, Dion. This is your Christmas, which is about it. This is your Christmas Eve.
It is my Christmas Eve. The Ashes starts. And although I have to say that the way I'd circled the diary has been blown apart by, you know, the post-Troy Parrott world we're all living in. You know, I'd kind of forgotten about it a bit more than I'd intended. But, yeah, the Ashes starts in Perth overnight. It's kind of always like a gripping. There was a fantastic test cricket between England and India over the summer, but this is the series that, you know, transfixes people. And England have only 7 England teams have won the Ashes in Australia, and only 2 England captains previously have regained the Ashes in Australia rather than going there as holders of it. So it's a lot on Ben Stokes, and they play They play this, you know, baz ball, this cricket. It's almost become a cliche now, but this very aggressive attacking form of cricket where they prioritise getting a victory or a defeat rather than playing for a draw. Very few draws in this approach to the game. So it makes for very gripping, very exciting cricket. People question the words exciting and cricket sometimes, but I'm telling you, it is... It is going to be a very good series. Australia's injuries look a bit vulnerable, so I think England have a chance. The other thing that Australia have done, which is wrong for traditionalists like me, they're playing the first test in Perth. They normally play it in Brisbane, which is a hostile ground. And Perth, they have moved from the Wacker, which was the famous old ground, with the fastest, renowned as the fastest wicket in world cricket. And they're playing now in this new 60,000-seater stadium, spanking new stadium, with a drop-in wicket, which tend to be slower and not as dynamic. So they've actually handed a little bit of the initiative to England with these moves, which are kind of corporate moves. So England have a great opportunity. Now, I'm not going to... Unfortunately, I can't stay up on tonight, but I think when you get up in the morning tomorrow, you'll have a fair sense of how things are already going.
Because I was going to ask, as somebody who loves test cricket while simultaneously having a life full of other things,
yes.
What's your general approach? Like, is it every single minute?
No, it's not.
Is it background?
It's background. It's now the thing with Perth is unfortunate. Perth starts at 2:30 in the morning, whereas some of the other ones will start at 11, 12.
But say on your time zone, how would you approach, let's say at a home Ashes for England?
Home Ashes for England. Okay. You want a full break?
Yes.
Then?
Yes.
I think it's a bit of background. It's a bit of, you know, can I justify an hour here in front of the television? Yes, I can, is usually the answer. And then...
Dip in and out.
And then, you know, the highlights are always very good, but dipping in and out at key times is always, you know, there are sort of rhythms to it that you know. And then you just follow the flow of the game and you see. Now, the India series last year was so good. I was actually on holiday. We were in Greece for the final test and I was... sitting, we went to a beach where I knew the taverna had Wi-Fi. And so while my family were, you know, on the beach, I was sitting having a Coca-Cola, just sitting there watching the final day's play. So that became all consuming. So, you know, it depends on how the test match is going.
Okay. Very good. That's, I think, a lovely whetting of the appetite for anybody who's on the fence about getting engaged in the Ashes this year. Finally, the golf, Cameron, we might finish up on that.
Yeah, so it's a big week for Seamus Power in the RSM Classic at Sea Island, and he has made a strong start to his challenge today. Carded 64 today to sit on 6 under par after the opening round in Georgia. That's 4 shots off the current lead. Now, why that's important, he needs to be in contention this week to boost his hopes of securing his PGA Tour card for next season. The top 100 in the FedEx Cup standings after this weekend will retain full playing rights, while Power has started the week in 129th spot.
Okay, very good. Thank you for that, Cameron Hill. So some good news. If you're not an Off The Ball member already, now is your chance, because we've got a Black Friday offer, which is now live. You can get a 1-year Off The Ball subscription for just $69.99, down from $99.99, where you can get exclusive podcasts, ad-free listening and early event access. You can go to offtheball.com/Black Friday for more. And the offer ends on the 1st of December. So still to come, we're going to be catching up with Brian Kerr after the break. We've got Fiona Hayes on the line after 8 o'clock to talk about Ireland versus South Africa. Dion will rejoin us for the football show then after 9 o'clock. And before all that, it's time for the Cash Machine.
Off The Ball Rugby.
He's a very good player, and on his day, he's a massive threat on the wing. So that is a bit of competition that we need at the left wing, with James Lowe not firing as good as he has in the recent past.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.